This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
All right, welcome in. It is Wednesday afternoon, Long Shots. Kelly Bidlin and Wes Reynolds here. We were just laughing. It's we're recording this about 10 hours before we tee off over at the Open Championship. Mm-hmm. Wes, how you doing, buddy? I know a couple long days for you and me.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking forward to it. 10:30 Pacific, I believe, is when we are going to get the first group off tonight.
Yep. Yeah. It is coming quick. That is for sure. So we figured we did. Hopefully everybody caught Long Shots from yesterday. We were in studio, Wes, myself, and Dave Ross joining us. Matt Brown out of town this week. Make sure to go to YouTube. You can check it out on the VSiN YouTube page if you want to watch it, or it's up on our podcast feed as usual. If you're running around in the car or whatever, you want to listen to it, you can check it out there. Wes and I wanted to do our usual Wednesday run through the whole card again, anything else that we added, and you know, a lot of the bets. I know him and I were needing to finalize as we were recording that Long Shots on a Tuesday afternoon here in Vegas. And if you live and bet here in Nevada, you know, you might know that not all the golf markets are up by that time. So definitely some bets that were so added and finalized and stuff like that we were talking about on that show. So I want to run through everything for that. And then also Wes has a quick Barracuda Championship preview for you guys a little later. Wes, I had to skip the Barracuda when I saw Keith Mitchell at the top of the board because I was like, Keith Mitchell has cost me enough money. I'd be attacking a tournament where he's the favorite in.
Right. And look, this is a tournament that, you know, you don't always want to necessarily be on the favorite anyway. So
right.
Wide open alternate event up there in Truckee, California.
Yep. We'll get to that just in a bit. It is fun though. I mean, this is fun for, hey, if you don't have work or anything, these are a great next 4 days of golf, with, the Open going for, man, what do they play for each day, Wes? Like 12 hours? I mean, like the tee times are a long time, are scattered throughout the day because they got so much daylight going on.
And this is not limited coverage like the Masters. This is, mm-hmm. you know, all day, and then they go to that final hour. I think they put on the Peacock, and you got like the last couple groups finishing up, barring obviously any weather. But
you got that going for a long time, and then you got the Barracuda you can switch over to. Yes. So if you're a golf fan and you don't got much work to do or anything for the next 4 days, you got a great weekend ahead of you. Might as well update the weather real quick. Hey, Wes, not a ton of movement, I guess, from what I'm seeing from, you know, honestly, the past day or two when we've been talking about it. Does look like it's going to be there's going to be rain at some points Thursday and Friday. It sure looks like that. And we're seeing, you know, sustained winds right now. It's about 13 to 17, you know, 13 to 18 miles an hour through Thursday and Friday. Gusts peaking at like 26, 27 is what I'm seeing right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It does look like later on Friday might be the worst of it, wind-wise at least. But I don't know that there's a major advantage anywhere. And I think that's the, as far as us that are betting it, I think that's pretty much all you could ask for with an Open. You're just hoping one half of the tee times doesn't just get wiped out, right? And that's it's at least from right now looking like it's going to be, you know, pretty even for everybody having to play through some crap this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So, weather can, you know, change on a dime here. So mm-hmm. sometimes you try to, you know, manage it as best as you can from a betting standpoint, but sometimes you're just, you know, it's up to the elements, man.
It's up to the elements.
And that's why I don't think you want to necessarily, you know, beat yourself over the head with this stuff. Certainly be aware of it. But sometimes, look, this will come down to a little bit of luck in the Open. So hopefully we get some our way this week.
Yeah, that's honestly, I don't know how much me and you talked about that, but it's something I want to keep bringing up where it's, look, is the weather important to be aware of? Yes. Are there times that you're going to be able to catch an advantage with your bets because of it? Yes. I don't know about US, but this feels like the better syndrome of you always remember your losses way better than your winners. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I feel way more pissed off when it's the, you try to bet around weather and then let's say the weather comes a little bit later than you were expecting or something, and then the guys that you ended up betting that were a little later and supposed to be a little after the weather end up getting hit by the weather. And it's just like you're talking about there. This is stuff you cannot control. And sometimes it is against your own best interest to try to be timing this stuff out too much. So, I think right now what I would tell anybody listening to this podcast, again, just kind of hours from the beginning of it, is, pick your best guys, go with your best bets. I don't really think there's much that as of right now, you should feel bad about if your guy ends up getting hit by some ugly wind, ugly rain. It's just going to happen to some people out there. That is Scottish weather for you, right?
Yeah, no question about it.
Okay, so again, yeah, Wes and I will keep this pretty, relatively short. For our full breakdown, again, head over to the podcast we did yesterday. It's up at YouTube as well. We did a full course preview there. Wes has, of course, got his articles up at VSiN.com for that stuff as well. We went over all of our key stats that we kind of plugged in and looked at this week. Wes and I don't know, have ever matched on a tournament more than this one. So it's, Wes, I hope you win a lot of money this weekend.
Yeah, no kidding. Same here. Yes.
But we'll run through everything right now. Wes, I'll get started. The only things I really ended up adding today, me and I were talking a little bit off air. I did add Corey Connors, top Canadian. I bet that at +115. We were talking before we started recording. There's a couple guys, I would say Connors, Fleetwood, Harmon were probably the three guys that I thought I was going to have bets on or more bets on than I do. And I added Connors top Canadian. Fleetwood, I feel like I'm priced out of. I know you're on him and my numbers support it completely. I've got enough top 20 bets and stuff already that I can't get there. And I don't see a great matchup listed that I really want to get involved with him on. And then Harmon, kind of the same thing. I considered him in top lefty market as well. But like I've got some Akshay Bhatia tickets, so I'm not going to go against that really. So a couple of these things we always talk about. It'll be a great world one day when we can create our own matchups and have some computer price it for us and stuff like that. But until then, you kind of got to live with what's given to you. So. That was really the only ad for me, was that Connors top Canadian. So the full card as of right now, and I'm not playing, I'm getting a lot of tweets about this. I'm not playing any first round leader for the Open. This is a tournament I usually never do that with, just because of the randomness of the weather. It's really just about that. And a lot of these guys not only getting their first look at Royal Troon, but also, some of them, their first look or one of their first looks at Lynx Golf. So first round leader, this is a tournament I usually don't mess around with that. So outright card for me looks like this. Colin Morikawa, I got it 17. I mean, I would bet anything down. I mean, what's he as short as you've seen, Wes? 14? I would bet him at 14 still.
Yeah, I have 16 on him. So and I also played him as a top 20, as I'm going to do with most of my outrights, are either top 20 or top 30. And then some of the guys I don't play, I go a little conservative with top 40. We'll get to those in a moment.
Yeah. So yeah, Morikawa outright for me. John Rahm outright for me. Got him at 26-1. But again, I mean anything in the 20s, if to me is fair to play on Rahm. It's not. I'll make it clear. It's not like he's someone I'm absolutely in love with this week. This is definitely more of a price play. I just think John Rahm. For what he's done, he hasn't won on LIV yet. He has not played well in the majors. And get it. That's the reason why you're getting this price, though. He has finished top 10. In every single live event that he's teed it up in, though. So at this price point, and I did it, at the U.S. Open as well, I'm betting John Rahm if he's in the 20s. No other play, so just an outright play. It's just, I don't want to see John Rahm right there on a Sunday and have skipped this kind of number. Tony Finau, bet him 45-1. I think him and Morikawa are my two favorite golfers this week. I'll get another bets I made on Finau, too. Sungjae Im, then, 65-1. And Akshay Bhatia, 125-1. So those are my five outright plays. Top 10s then on Morikawa and Finau. Top 20 on Finau. I only stuck to top 10 with Morikawa, West, but I did see stations in town of like a -135 on his top 20 that I got. I made my top 10 bet pretty heavy before I saw that. And then I was like, shit, I probably should have hammered that top 20 and then bet a little bit more on the top 10. But I like my top 10 position on Morikawa. Played top 10 and top 20 on Finau. And then other top 20s, Sungjae, went back in on Sungjae. I don't know on Sungjae. That's one that might burn me this week, but that one's kind of a price play too. He's playing some good golf here recently, like in the top 20 market. And that long shot outright price was a little long to me, so liked that one. And then Aaron Rye and Tom Kim are my other top 20 bets. Didn't want to do anything outright wise with those two guys, but did go in on the top 20s. And then for tournament matchups, no ads for me there. So it is just Morikawa over DeChambeau. I believe you're on that one as well. Finau over Minwoo Lee, Finau over Patrick Cantlay, and Aaron Rye over Matt Fitzpatrick. So that is my whole Open Championship card. Wes, I'm going to kick it over to you. You can just run through everything you bet, and a lot of it's going to sound a lot of the same.
Yeah, there is going to be certainly some overlap here. Morikawa, we mentioned 16, played him top 20 as well. John Rahm, actually the highest in the market I saw was 28.
Are you serious?
Yeah, jeez. there was a 28, I think, at Rivers that did pop up, if you have that available to you. But market average is 25 on Rahm, and now you're starting to see some 22s as we get closer to the tournament. Played him also as a top 20. Tommy Fleetwood, 25. I don't like the outright number, but it's going with the gut here a lot. And top 20 also played Tommy Fleetwood as well. Victor Hovland, if you're in Las Vegas and hearing this or in the area, now up to about 34-1 at Circa. And there's some 33s out there in the market, so it's pretty much about the same. And then I bet top 20 also on Victor Hovland. Tony Finau, 50-1. That has come down a little bit into like the low to mid 40s and even below 40 at Circa here in Las Vegas. And then I also played.
Yeah, when I was checking back around today, Wes, I don't even know if I saw 40 on him anymore. He looked almost everything I saw was sub 40. So Finau getting some money, and I think rightfully so.
Yeah, I do too. I expect him to play well. I played top 30 on him. And usually as I get a little bit higher, I'll go from 20s to 30s. Because usually these are like middle prices for me. I don't usually will play, you know, I could play him top 10, but elected to go a little bit more conservative. Sungjae Im, 75-1. Also played him as a top 30. A couple top 40s I played that were strong, like long shot outrights. They didn't bet for the win, but I think could play solidly here. Russell Henley as a top 40, and Akshay Bhatia at top 40. I know you were talking about him on our long shots program yesterday. So
yeah, I just played an outright on him, but yeah, that's probably where I should probably be adding him in the top 40.
Cause I was kind of looking through here and, you know, debating, okay, do I want to maybe add a couple of those, you know, DP World Tour guys that could be like top 40 guys that maybe people don't know about. And then all of a sudden you see them, they're like 500 through 8 holes or something on, and they're like, damn it. Why didn't I play that? But,
I'll be honest, Wes, I was expecting you to drop a name or two yesterday when we were doing the show that I was going to be tailing you on. And yeah, that didn't really happen.
Well, one that I might play, and I've been looking around, Shubhankar Sharma, perhaps as a top 40, might be what I look at, but
I believe Sia Najad had him in on something. I think first round leader market he bet him in.
Yeah, he's a long bomb. Like he's several hundred to one to win, but you know, would be looking at top 40s is where I usually go with those real long shot guys. Didn't add any matchups. The same four I had yesterday on long shots: Morikawa over DeChambeau, Finau over Neiman, Henley over Siwoo Kim, Austin Eckroat over Eric Cole were the four. So I don't know. Like matchups, I get a little bit gun shy. Like I'll take my chances with placements, but I get gun shy on matchups here with this event.
It's tough. I mean, it's the best way to bet golf, but like you've got to be, especially with this type of event, like you've got to be pretty sure on the guy you're betting on and pretty sure on the guy you're betting against.
Yeah, no question about it. In terms of any like nationality props, I know it's not a lot of lead time. I may get to some of those late afternoon, early evening. They won't be many. There might be one or two that I look through, but I'm going to take one more comb over of those basically, and you know, see what we can find. But obviously, a very early start, so not a ton more I'm going to add.
Gotcha. Okay. And everything that Wes and I have bet up at VSiN.com, anything that you will add, you will put up there, right, Wes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So yeah, go to VSiN.com. Get every, I mean, every, not just me and Wes, everybody on the network's Golf Bets. We've obviously got a lot of great golf bettors on the network. Matt Eumanns, I'm sure, has stuff up there as well. I Matt Brown, possibly. I don't know if he got his stuff up or not before he left to go golf.
Our buddy Indy Jeff Seeley, has some stuff up. I think Paul Stone might have put a couple in, and we'll get some thoughts from some other guests later on the network today and see where they're great. Going.
Nice. I like it. Over on VSiN Primetime, right?
Our guy, Stephen Hennessy from Golf Digest, he has hit two in a row. He hit not only Davis Thompson, I was aboard on that one as well. He also had Robert McIntyre at the Scottish Open. So we've got Stephen Hennessy from Golf Digest on this evening on the East Coast, late afternoon if you're on the West Coast. So we'll want to hear what Stephen and the entire Golf Digest panel has to say.
I guess I'm a little surprised on how many Robert McIntyre questions I've got.
I've gotten a lot too. Yeah.
Have you? Okay. Yeah. I thought it was a little odd. So yeah, I don't know. I guess we could address that quick right here. Look, he wins. Great for him. I'm not going to say that was, he's got the talent, right? Well, I don't know how to talk about some of these guys. Like, I'm not surprised that he won, I'm not shocked that he won, the Scottish Open, but then his odds getting cut shorter this week. He's already a guy that would have been tough for me to be that interested in betting much on this week anyways. But then his odds get cut shorter after winning last week. He's just a guy I've got nothing on. And look, he's definitely not a guy I'd be running to look to fade either. But he's just kind of a stay away for me. Same thing for you.
I'm the same way because I think, maybe some of the value's been extracted out of him and he's probably priced really where he should be. I think he should probably be in that 40s to mid 40s, 45 or so range. So, yeah, look, I don't want to necessarily buy on strength here, shall we say.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And this, to his credit, though, are we really, it's still just him. Multiple winners on tour this year, right? It's Scotty Scheffler 6, Rory with the 2, but one's a team event, and then he's got 2, right? He's the only other guy with 2, right?
Yeah, I for some reason, Kelly, I thought that there was another one.
Dude, someone asked me that yesterday, and I thought the same thing. I was like, I feel like I'm forgetting someone, but well, you know what? Hold on. I just pulled up the list right here. I don't think we are. I mean, Rory gets 2, but only because he was in that team event.
I thought Akshay, but he won the Barracuda actually last year. I guess some people, well, you can't really count fall series events either because we're not counting
the fall series. You're right, because otherwise, yeah, he would be in there.
Yeah, we're not in the fall series. So, I guess those are the only ones. I thought maybe that there was another one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm missing anyone. I think that's it. So, I guess I was surprised by the Robert McIntyre questions, but I think if you're a lighter golf fan out there, I get why you're asking it. I get why you're asking it. What is the only other guy who's won 2 individual events?
Neiman has won 2 on LIV. I knew that. Maybe that was the one I was thinking of. Joaquin Neiman winning a couple on LIV. Rory also did win the Dubai Desert Classic over on the DP World Tour. So he's technically a multiple event winner so far this year.
I said PGA Tour, so we were factual.
Yes.
We were factual on the PGA Tour, but yes, multiple wins for him. Man, I guess quick other LIV discussion. Obviously, me and you are playing ROM. I think I'm going to go the Gil Alexander question of who wins this tournament that you're going to regret the most if you didn't bet him. It's probably for me Brooks or Matsuyama. If they win, I don't know about you. And I only say Brooks because the number's gotten ridiculous, right?
Like, right.
For all the reasoning that me and you are betting John Rahm, if anybody tells me they're betting Brooks Koepka, because I cannot blame you at all. Getting Brooks Koepka at 45-1 or whatever in a major is insane. So if he wins this, I'll probably be a little unhappy. And then, Wes, you know how much I've bet Matsuyama all this year. And it is even as I look at the weather – like if the weather got any worse, he'd be on my card because the one thing he's got still humming this season is his around the green game. It has been ridiculously good. It's just he's so wayward off the team. We know how much accuracy is going to matter this week, and that kept me off of him. But I had a big note. I still got a big note written down. Weather gets worse, look at Matsuyama, and it just didn't get bad enough for me to turn that way. Who would be the answer, I guess, for you? One or two guys that, man, if they win it, you're going to be kicking yourself.
Well, I'll go a top five because you listed two of them with Matsuyama and Koepka. Tyrrell Hatton would be another one. You know, I kind of went back and forth with him on Fleetwood, and Tyrrell Hatton looks certainly, I think, has the game links experience. Patrick Cantlay on the number, but I already have a Patrick Cantlay to win a major ticket, so this is my last chance, so I didn't double down on it. But, you know, 45-1, he played really well at the U.S. Open, so I think maybe he could be on his way back. And then I considered Sahith Fagala too, but I think I need to see a little bit more pedigree in majors, you know, maybe get close once or twice more before I do that. But those were guys that, hey, I could legitimately see them winning this thing. And look, now that when you look at some of these quality name players that are in triple digits, you could add a couple more. But I don't know if we're getting a longer shot this year. I know we got one last year at Brian Harman. You can always get a long shot at the Open based on the weather and then the draw bias and whatnot. But like last year, Brian Harman essentially won this on Friday.
Right.
He won this in the second round. So that could happen. But I don't see that this year. I think you're going to get a class guy this time.
So real quick, I mean, update on Cantlay. He did, I mean, he was a WD from the John Deere, right? Like this.
Yeah,
is,
so that's what worries me a little bit. I wonder how serious that injury is.
Yeah, I mean, everything
I've
seen.
And that's why I left him off.
Yeah, everything I've seen, that's where, like, I feel like I've seen a couple people betting him. You know, in referencing the long number, and I get it, but there is a difference between him and some of these other guys that we're referencing the number on. And it's the fact that he was, I mean, WD 2 weeks ago from a tournament with a back injury. I think it was a back injury. I think that's what I said.
Yeah. And I believe actually he is paired because all of the tee times and the groupings are out and have been out for about a day. He is with Tiger and with Xander Schauffele. So he's with his best buddy, Xander Schauffele, who just won a major, obviously back in May, and with potentially the greatest of all time. So, you know, that's an interesting group for him. We'll see how he does with that. You know, I don't think guys anymore necessarily, certain guys certainly don't have the, you know, fear factor, the not necessarily fear factor of if he's going to win, but the, oh my God, I'm playing with Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
You know, no, and, I think you know, I think that's going away a little bit.
Yeah. I think you're right. And honestly, those three guys, they're all, Xander's down there in Jupiter too, right? I mean, all three Jupiter guys, right? I mean, I think I'm sure they all three
born in California.
Yeah, I think all three have probably played a lot of rounds together. And like you said, Cantlay and Schauffele very familiar with each other, you know, very close friends. So, that's one. What was the other guy you mentioned? Hatton was one. Hatton is a guy that I'll be angry if he wins only because of how much money I burnt on him in the past, picking him to win tournaments that he didn't. Or
I used to play him a lot on the when he was playing mostly DP, and then won with him at Bay Hill at the Arnold Palmer when like the wind was awful. I think he won at like maybe 3 or 4 under par in that event and just had to hang on. But look, he could certainly play in the elements, but you know, with Tyrrell, it's kind of like, sometimes things don't go right and he lets you know about it and lets everybody know about it. And, you know, you wonder, you're always a little worried. It's like, oh man, is this guy going to explode or something? Right. But that's just kind of his nature. I think.
Firing.
He's just a hothead. Yeah.
All right. Well, again, no first round leader bets for me. You doing anything with first round markets at all? Wesley matchups or anything? Yeah.
No,
more volatile courses, tournaments like this, it's just, you're not going to get me sinking as much money into the first round market. So, all right, that's everything we got for the Open. Again, I plug at VSiN.com. We got Wes's write up, all of our picks over there. If you want to watch more of our course preview and everything, head over to YouTube, VSiN's YouTube page, or check out the pods earlier on in the feed. From yesterday, that will have our full breakdown for everything for the Open. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we will dive into the Barracuda Championship. All right, welcome back. It is Long Shots. We are moving on now to the Barracuda Championship. Wes, I told you this off air, but I knew I wasn't going to even really dive into this at all as soon as I saw my man Keith Mitchell as the short shot and at 16-1 because Keith is a Keith has been a roller coaster so far for me this year. I need to sit down and add up where I'm at money wise over the course of the season with Keith Mitchell, because he was a top 20 machine for me for a while, but God knows none of the outrights have gotten home. So at some point I need to add that all up, because Keith Mitchell, it has been a roller coaster ride with. He is 16-1. He is your favorite out there at the Barracuda. Taylor Pendrith, Patrick Rogers, Michael Thorbjornsson, Chan Kim, all 22-1 over at DraftKings right now. Sam Stevens, 25-1. Rico Hoey and Nick Dunlap, 28-1. And then you've got a bunch of guys, 30-1 or longer. Break down the course for us. Actually, Wes, break down the scoring for us first, because I'm not even sure I remember exactly how it works.
Yeah, this is a modified Stableford scoring system where it's not quite what you saw if you watched that American Century Celebrity Championship, right, where you actually get points for pars, but it is a modified Stableford scoring. So, you know, you're rewarded for eagles and birdies and not really penalized much for bogeys. So I'll give the points. So if you get the albatross, that's plus 8 points. That's 300 par in a hole. An eagle is plus 5. A birdie is plus 2. No net gain for par, so 0. Minus 1 for a bogey, and then minus 3 for a double or worse. And then it doesn't go like you get more for triple or quad or whatever. So
it would be really, really tough to finish minus something.
Yes. Yes, if you're doing that, you're doing it wrong here at this course. But yeah, Tahoe Mountain Club, Old Greenwood Course, Truckee, California, Barracuda Championship. This used to be known as the Reno Tahoe Open. Par 71, 7480, but it is played at about 6,000 feet of altitude. So it's going to feel like a 6,900-yard course or something with the altitude. Jack Nicklaus designed this in 04. Mountain forest and deserts, even though it is a resort track, got water and play on 6 holes, 95 bunkers, fairways and greens, which are about 5,300 square feet on average, or bent POA, bluegrass rough, 2.5 inches. Greens are going to be maybe on the slower side, 11 on the stimp. So look, you got to make eagles and you got to make birdies here, and you're rewarded for shooting at flags. So the stats, not really a huge modeling thing, but I looked at birdie or better percentage, proximity to the hole, because you got to hit some darts here. You know, you got to go at the flags. Total driving and strokes gain putting on bent and POA. That's really all I went to, because this is kind of a crapshoot event. Akshay Bhatia won this last year in a playoff over Patrick Rogers. I believe that was one of my playoff losses last year with Rogers. He was about 35-1. So when you're looking at the point total, the record that I've seen since they've, you know, moved to this format, Eric Van Rooyen had 50 points in 2021, but Akshay only had 40 last year, and Richie Werenski had 39 in 2020. So you want to be in like the low to mid 40s. If you're looking at the leaderboard and not seeing plus or minus and you're seeing point totals, if you got a 40 by the side of your player, he's at least in contention on a Sunday. So, look, wide open, lot of swings here, of course. You know, if guys, you know, making birdies and potentially making eagles. So that's about all I did. I think you want to look at a lot of scoring stats. You know, you don't want to go too knee deep in the weeds modeling this thing.
Yeah, I'm glad I really didn't dig into this. As I scroll down the odds board, there's probably some guys that I would be betting here that
I almost was going to take a pass here, because like I had two guys in the playoff, by the way, at the ISCO last week, and I thought, oh man, I'm going to get home. And
you almost went 3-for-3 around the world last week, right?
I thought I was, and I ended up 1-for-3. It was like the one that I won is one that I shouldn't have won.
Right.
You know, and then the other, and then at least maybe not the Scottish, because Ludvig kind of like crapped the bed, quite frankly, in the last several holes. But at the ISCO, I thought, okay, I'm gonna get one of these, go 2-for-3. But you know, had to do a little bit of Harry Hall, and then he chipped in on the third playoff hole and gets the win.
Yeah. Oh man, that's rough. All right, so what ended up on your card for the Barracuda?
One that I had last week that was in the playoff, who actually felt he needed birdie and didn't know what he needed, and made par. He hit it on the top of a rock, and that really cost him. Rico Hoey. So hopefully Rico looks at leaderboards week. 35-1, top 20 on debut last year, second and sixth in two of his last three events.
He's been impressive, man. He has been impressive. Yep.
He is. He's a good player. He's a big hitter too. He really hits it long off the tee and pretty straight as well. Hayden Springer, 45-1. If you know that name, if you were watching the John Deere a couple weeks ago, he did have a 59 at the John Deere, ended up finishing seventh in that event, was 10th at the Rocket Mortgage. So, you know, most guys that win here have at least some kind of form. So I went with Springer in that regard. And then a couple of your DP players, because this is co-sanctioned with the DP World Tour, of course. So you got a lot of Europeans playing over here, trying to pick up FedEx Cup points and, you know, earn a potential PGA Tour card as well. Sam Bairstow from England, 55-1, who was sixth last week at the ISCO, second in ball striking in that field. Two top 10s and five top 15s on the DP World Tour as a rookie. So this young guy's got a lot of talent. He hits it very big off the tee. Johannes Veerman, 55-1, an American player that actually plays primarily on the DP World Tour. He was in contention after 54 holes last week. Couldn't get much going Sunday. Was T10. Five top 10s combined on the PGA and the DP World Tour. So this guy, it's got at least a little bit of form. Patrick Fishburne, 66-1, five top 25s this season. Actually played his college golf at BYU and is from Utah. So some of these guys that have played out there, kind of used to that altitude.
Yeah, I think he'll be used to it.
Pretty good driver of the ball. And then one bomb I did take, Andy Sullivan, 150-1, who you would think, because he's won several times on the DP World Tour over the years, he's going to be in the Open this week. He's not. He is back here in this Barracuda, 16th last week at Kentucky, second for driving accuracy. So, you know, just going down here. Look, you can make the case if you want to go all bombs. I certainly can't disparage you from doing that, because that certainly happens. If I'm looking at the recent prices, though, that have cashed here, 35-1, 40-1, 66-1, 33-1. Morikawa was actually in this field in 2019 and was 10-1 and won this thing. 28 for Andrew Putnam, Chris Stroud, 75. There was one big bomb, Greg Chalmers in 2016 at 300-1. But if you look at most of the prices, Kelly, it's probably mid-range, like 30 to 60. And that's where I kind of tried to live this week.
I also bet that, like, you know, the people at home might be thinking, I don't know, those are kind of long prices, Wes. But, like, I bet you most fields have looked actually pretty similar to what we're kind of looking at this week, and where there's maybe one or two guys that are kind of, you know, in the teens or something like that. And then you almost immediately jump down to that 25, you know, 30-1 range. So it's, Wes might have just rattled through a lot of 30s and 40s, but those still might be guys that are fifth through 10th on the odds board. So really not that far down when you consider what this event's like every week. So, okay, I like it. So, yeah, everything we did for this week, all Wes's plays up at VSiN.com. Write-ups I know he has for both events up there as well. Check those out. We've got the Open Championship long shot special. We have that up on the podcast feed. We have that up on YouTube. Go check it out. And good luck on all your bets this week around the world with all the golf going on. It's going to be a fun few days. Wes, again, good luck to you. I hope you win a lot of money, because it probably means I'm going to, too. Let's go get one home, buddy. All right. We will talk to all you guys soon. Good luck with your bets.